And with me in the Care of Yes studios now is Claire Martin, who is here to talk about her debut collection of poems. The novel is next, Claire. Your debut collection of poems published by Press 53. It's called Eating the Heart First. And it is a lovely book. I've been having it on my desk since you sent it. And everybody who comes in there wants to touch it and hold it.
It does have a very unique feel. It almost feels like a light suede, which is really cool. It has a matte finish. Mm-hmm. And of course, people that would want to buy the book can feel it themselves.
Yes, absolutely. but it has a beautiful photograph on it. And that matte finish just makes that photograph come out.
It's the artist. Her name is Pamela Womax, and she lives in the La Place area. And my publisher, Kevin Morgan Watson from Press 53, found her by looking at pictures on the internet. And she's an amateur photographer, but she's very, very talented. And there's just something very mysterious and mystical about the image that really drew me in. And it seems to be a really good match for the content that's inside.
It suits the poems very well. Now, Claire, you're from Louisiana.
I'm from Lafayette. Yep. I was born and raised here. And I live in Youngsville. I live in my grandmother's house. And I'm very rooted there.
And you graduated from UL.
I did in 1991.
When it was probably still USL.
It was USL, but I've kind of switched over to the new title.
Yes, we all do.
Yeah, we just want to.
Now, did you study writing?
I have a degree in English, a bachelor's in English, and I did always see myself as a writer, and I've taken some creative writing classes. So I guess you can say that I studied to be a writer, but...
I mean, you were always drawn to it. I mean,
I've
interviewed you over many years with different organizations, and I know you had started a writer's group for a while. And so that's been an interest of yours, writing, creative, personal writing for a long time.
Probably since childhood. But what's, you know, there's life gets in the way sometimes, and there's ups and downs, and you may not always feel discipline, you know, a sense of discipline. With a writing practice. And in 2004, I always saw myself as a writer, but I didn't have that practice. And when my son died, I just felt that I needed to honor his memory in a way to be the writer I was born to be. And so in the past 8 years, I've been writing, just furiously writing, not knowing where the words would lead, but just following the words.
And were you writing in journals? Were you creating verse? What?
I was writing in journals, but also composing at the computer while my husband and daughter would watch TV or we'd be having dinner or whatever, just sitting there and just focused on a Word document and just writing. And in that 8 years period, I've had probably about 60 poems published. So there was also that drive to share the words that I wrote. Not, I feel like a poem or a book lives half its life if it's not read.
So this book is not just the first time that you've had personal words published.
No.
You've also been, in addition to furiously writing, furiously sending your poems out. And obviously they've been accepted.
A good bit of them have, but I'm sure there's been hundreds that have been rejected, but one of the things that you learn if you really want to pursue a publishing avenue is that if it's rejected, go back, look at it, think about it, you know, see if it needs revision, and then just repackage it and send it again, because you never know what an editor is going to find appealing to them. And if one editor doesn't like something, another editor may find that it's a great piece and that they want to stand behind it.
Right. What did you find sending these poems out into the public and trying to get them published? What did that do to both your personal emotions with what had happened in your life? And what did it do also to your poetry and the way you structured your writing? What kind of effect did it have on you?
It had a great effect because we had had so many traumas associated with my son's life. He was 3 months premature and he was severely disabled. He had cerebral palsy. He never walked and he never spoke. And, you know, that's a lot of grief to deal with, the dream of having a perfect child. He was perfect in his own way, and he was very special. And being the writer that I was 8 years ago, I said, I'm going to find whatever path there is to be the best writer that I could be. Mm-hmm. So getting rejection, being told no, forced me to improve my work and to improve to the level that it's going to be accepted in national journals or looked at by an editor and saying, we want to stand behind this, we want to publish this book. There's something, and it's also brought about new knowledge about myself. I always say that my hands seem to know something that my mouth doesn't, because when I'm using my hands on the keyboard or with a pen and paper, there's some knowledge that comes through that is just a revelation. So there's something about that, about learning about the self. And I do put a lot of personal energy in this book that might be related to something that actually happened. But art has a way of taking on many different aspects that it could be a news story that I've read. It will filter into the art that I'm making. It could be something that happened to you, and it could filter into the art that I'm making. Mm-hmm. So it's been very healing, and it's been very educational.
And those things really do allow you to share and touch other people, that it's not simply a personal event that happened, but you're creating something that becomes more universal and that touches all of us.
That's what I've hoped for. I mean, I think there's something that about language, that when we hear a poem and it is something that has been carefully crafted, artfully crafted, there's something that just goes off in the brain. You pay attention. And I think when you're using language in a very evocative way, a very clear way, and that you're writing about something that's important to the human soul, that people will respond, and they will, you know, it takes us aback, because we're used to seeing, you know, lots of advertisements being thrown at us, lots of, you know, commercials and movies and films and things. But when you hear something that's just rooted in this deep human experience, we all are reminded of the joys of life or our own mortality. You know, there's just something that's grounding in that experience, I think.
I want to tell those of you tuning in right now, my guest is Claire Martin. She's a poet, and she has just published her first book of poetry called Eating the Heart First. It was published by Press 53. She's had a couple readings already. Had a very successful one on Monday evening in downtown Lafayette.
We did. We had a little book launch party to thank family and friends that have been so supportive. Mm-hmm. And I do want to mention that Carpe Diem has been a wonderful host of a new reading series that we started about a year ago, the Voices Seasonal Reading Series. And I just wanted to mention
that. Quite a number of poets who have appeared in the series.
Mm-hmm. We've had some wonderful people, Louisiana authors, new and emerging and established authors. But we're planning 2013 now, and I may want to come back on and
definitely
speak about that.
I look forward to those poets. I guess that kind of leads into my next question about what poets have influenced and inspired you, whether they're local or long past. What poets do you like?
I think when I first started at USL, I met a girl who was really just funky and intelligent, and she turned me on to lots of different writers, Sylvia Plath, Ann Sexton. That's what she was reading, Wallace Stevens. I try not to limit myself, because there's so many contemporary writers in categorizing what kind of poetry that I like, because mm-hmm. there's so many writers. I like everything, and I really like to be discerning in how I'm going to develop my own work. But I like to read a lot of contemporary work. And the internet, I mean, you can just find so many literary publications on the internet, and so the access is there.
Well, it's interesting that you say discerning. I guess it's a different, those of us who don't write poetry or are not seeking to publish, I guess it really doesn't matter what poetry we encounter, what books we keep by our bed, but I guess you are protective or conscious of your style, and you do need to be discerning about those poets you choose to let into your life?
Sometimes. When I was toward the latter half of shaping the book, I was just so focused on the book that I did limit and I have a stack of books. I've been buying poetry. I love to support poets, so I mm-hmm. buy a lot of poetry. But my stack is like one of those Jenga puzzles that might just all of a sudden collapse if mm-hmm. one book is pulled out. Mm-hmm. But in the shaping of the book, I did keep myself very focused. I'm very easily influenced, mm-hmm. but that's a good thing too, because it inspires me. If I may not necessarily consciously try to mimic someone's style, but I will incorporate it subconsciously, and you know, there could be some influence there.
Mm. Well, I'd like you to read something in a moment, but awesome. How would you describe your style? Again, for those people who don't really encounter poetry that much and, you know, want to hear how you describe what you do.
Well, I would say that it's free verse, mm-hmm. and I would also say that although I'm very much attuned to what the form will take, I wouldn't say that it's confessional, because not necessarily everything is very truthful in that sense, but maybe I would lean toward that. I really do love Anne Sexton and Sylvia Plath, and I also admire greatly Daryl Bork. You know, I'm going to mention him because he's mm-hmm. been such a wonderful support. But I really love how he has taken the beauty of this region and made something really miraculous through his gifts. So I've tried to do a little bit of that with my work in this book, because I'm a Louisiana woman. I love my home state. I love the landscape, the nature. So, maybe something like that.
Well, you look like you have a piece that you've chosen from the book.
Thank you. Do not let death catch you, or the ocean take you into spiral caverns where no living thing sees light. Fill your lungs, rise from this, the darkest water. Let the wind carry you on ethereal bones. Be of the grass of dreaming birds. Be of the last unforgiving stone of the silent earth. Fire scatters your wish. Burning petals of ash drift to your cheek. Remember when your mind was keen, when the hope which possessed you rose to the stars.
As my guest Claire Martin reading from her book, Eating the Heart First. The book is divided into three sections. Tell us about those sections.
Well, I have to step back and say a little bit of something about how the sequencing came to mm-hmm. be, because that influenced how the final shaping would take place. I was sequencing the poems in a way where I would have like the mother poems together or the nature poems together, and it seemed like they should have been filed in a filing cabinet.
Card catalog.
With a label on each. Mm-hmm. And I was first rejected by Press 53, but the poetry editor, Tom Lombardo, encouraged me to go back to the work, and he said, I think you have something there, but mm-hmm. I can't accept it. So it really forced me, that no really forced me to go back and work more on the book. And a friend of mine got together with me one night, and she lit a candle, and it was on a table next to photographs of her ancestors. And she took the manuscript, and she started putting the pages on her floor and moving in an unusual way, and she put together the manuscript in a sequence. And how she explained it to me was that it was as though she was taking the reader on a walk. Here, look at this, let's go here. And so it was really unbelievable how the manuscript seemed to have changed because of that sequencing. So I looked at the groupings of poems. The first section is titled Fables of Skin, and the second section is titled A Fire of Words, and the third is All That We Conjure. And the poems seem to speak to the breath of the work, and it just had like a natural breaks mm-hmm. to give it some different form.
Mm. And I guess, and that's interesting, you talk about shaping it. Some people might think if you're publishing poems, you just put them like you do in a list of topics and then publish it. But it really is an art form in itself, it sounds like.
It is, and mm-hmm. I was a total newbie. Mm-hmm. But I had been really trying to pull together a manuscript since 2007, because I had just been writing all of these poems, and it was like, where am I going to go with mm-hmm. them, you know? And finding poems that seem to connect to each other in a way, you know, I kept trying to find that connective line. And then I realized I'm the connective line, and finding where the voice was seemingly natural came about. And it was really a mysterious way that it came about in the sequencing and forming the book.
Well, there's a lot of mysteriousness in this book. You know, it's you said that you wouldn't describe yourself as a confessional poet. And obviously there are leanings in the book towards that. But there's something that's really couched in mystery and dreams and a sense of power in the natural landscape. How much do dreams play a part in how you shape a poem or what you write about?
They play a great part. I mean, what artist doesn't look to their dreams to find inspiration or to find meaning or, you know, to open their vision? And several poems in here were written immediately upon waking up. You know, first drafts would come about after a dream. I had dreamed of the subject. Starving horses is one. I dreamt of a family of starving horses, a mare, a stallion, and a young colt. And that was so visual, so strong, that I just started writing upon getting up. And that's one of the poems that's in the book. And I think it's a very strong piece because it's not just there's a metaphor there. You know, so I think our dreams hold metaphors. And if we can tap into them, we can find and unlock their meaning.
Mm-hmm. And how much... there's also a sense of power from the landscape that you get. And that's not uncommon around here. You know, obviously there are traditions of traiteurs and legends of mysterious creatures and sightings in our landscape. How much has the landscape of Louisiana shaped your images?
Every weekend, I would love to take a drive. I love driving and just having my parents, we did a lot of car trips, and my parents, to save money, we did a lot of vacations within the state. So we did a lot of staycations. Mm-hmm. And my mother, who's listening and not heckling me, she,
it's a good thing about radio.
Yeah. she would always teach us to see. I mean, she would teach us about birds, there's a lot of birds in the book too. She would teach us about the landscape and tell us stories. She was, very strong Cajun woman, and she would, you know, speak to us about our history through the landscape and things that she remembered from her childhood. So she's an amazing storyteller, a wonderful storyteller. And, I've gotten that gift from her. And so there's so much of a connection that we feel to the landscape because we've had to work in the land. And, you know, we have fishermen, we have hunters. This is a formerly rural, formerly agricultural area. So I think it's inspiring. I mean, we have so much beauty in this state, and sometimes it's taken for granted or it's totally pushed aside, but it's always inspired me. It's always been a visual that is just magnificent, and it's also been just something that taps into something about humans enjoying nature. I mean, there's a lot of nature in here.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the horses, you mentioned birds. What are some of the other reoccurring plants, animals in Louisiana that you find in your poems?
There is one poem that... there's a few poems in here that horses that speak of horses. Mm-hmm. I dream a lot about horses, honestly. They seem to come to me, seem to have some effect on me. And I used to have two horses as a young teenage girl. And that was just almost every teenage girl's fantasy to have a horse. Mm-hmm. And I did have two horses. And the memories of that experience always has influenced me.
Mm. And do you have one there that you'd like to read?
Let's see. I don't know if this one...
Anyone you'd like to
read.
Okay,
anyone.
They're all beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Let's see.
And again, this is my guest, Claire Martin, poet. She has just published Eating the Heart First. It was published by Press 53. And we'll have some opportunities to get to hear you read, and we'll mention some of those dates in just a moment. But this is a selection from the book.
This is the title poem, Eating the Heart First. Her body bristles. She hears the plucked string, the whoosh of arrow. When she is felled, you must eat the heart first. It is a hellish flower. Cut it out whole. Its pulse fills your hand. She will talk in your skin. Her fear will mingle with your own. Cold, you sleep. Your dreams flood with moons. Wolves hunt this night of your mind. Keep you running.
Very beautiful. Again, Eating the Heart First. Do you have a website, Claire, or someplace people can go to find out more?
ClaireLMartin.com, mm-hmm. and it's a sort of a blog, but I do put up notices about readings that are upcoming and publication notices and sometimes just blog things.
Mm-hmm. Thoughts that might become poems someday.
Sometimes I write about the writing life, my own life, and things that inspire me, mm-hmm. things that might make me angry.
And you share that on the blog. Well, what are our other opportunities to hear you read coming up?
I will be reading this Sunday at Carpe Diem. I'll have a book signing and reading at 2 p.m., and that's on 812 Jefferson Street in downtown Lafayette. Mm-hmm. It's a great, great spot. I really like it. This weekend is the Festival of Words that's taking place in Grand Coteau, which is a wonderful, amazing event. And I will have a book signing table and also be part of the community stage. And that's November 10th. And that's a daytime event. It's approximately from 10 a.m. And then there's events and things going on all day there. And I will be reading in New Orleans at the Goldmine Saloon on November 15th, and that's a long-running literary series that is in the French Quarter, right in the heart of the French Quarter. And on November 18th, I'll be reading at the Baton Rouge Gallery for their Sunday at 4 series. And after that, after the I-10 tour,
the I-10 tour, that's good.
I will be taking a little break and then starting back up after 2013 rolls around and making more plans to go outside the region and more areas of our state.
Well, is it a good idea to check your blog about the
states? Yes, ClaireLMartin.com. And my first name is spelled C-L-A-R-E. There's no I in that. So C-L-A-R-E. LMartin.com.
All right. So lots of listings of poetry readings and thoughts that could become future poems and that we could all share in. Again, my guest, poet Claire Martin. She has just published Eating the Heart First through Press 53. And they'll be available at these readings. And
yes.
I guess through your blog. How can people get
actually,
them?
It's available on Amazon.com, and you would put in the title, Eating the Heart First, and my name, and also through Press53.com. Mm-hmm. And locally, there's a few places that has it.
Okay.
Nunu's in Arneville had a few copies. Alexander Books had some copies. And the Cajun Picasso, which is just off of Johnson Street,
and then
had
I guess
copies.
Like during Festival of Words.
Yes,
this
I'll
weekend.
Have copies as well. You can buy signed copies from me.
Okay. And Festival of Words, check out their website, festivalofwords.org, mm-hmm. and find out about all of the events that Claire is mentioning, including her reading there. A really great event that features local writers and brings writers in as well to our community. Really nice event to attend.
Yes,
and
it is.
You'll get an opportunity to hear Claire read at Festival of Words this weekend. Claire, thank you so much for coming to share your work. And
thank you, Judith.
For being such a proponent of poetry and writers. And I know that that's been a focus of yours for a long time, and I appreciate it.
You only live once, so you might as well do what you dream.
That's right. Well, thank you for those thoughts,
thank
Claire.
You. All right.
look at what's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. The McNeese Bayou Players will open the Women of Lockerbie this evening. The Women of Lockerbie is by Deborah Brevert. It will run tonight through Saturday at 7:30 p.m. each evening and on Sunday at 2 o'clock in the Sherman Fine Arts Theater on the McNeese campus. Also this evening on the McNeese campus, the Department of Performing Arts presents the Honors Brass Quintet and the Quintessentials Woodwind Ensemble. It's a free concert tonight in Ralph Squire's Recital Hall. The Friends of Dupre Library will hold their annual book sale this evening from 4 to 6. It's open for UL faculty and staff. The sale opens to the public tomorrow and will run Thursday and Friday from 8 in the morning to 4:15 and on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. That book sale is on the first floor of Dupre Library, again opening to the public tomorrow at 8 in the morning. In Lake Charles, tomorrow, the Southwest Louisiana Arts and Cultural Symposium will take place at the Lake Charles Civic Center in the Contraband Room. Speakers will be Pam Bro, Mayor Randy Roach, Erica McCready, and the keynote speaker is Malcolm White. For more information, you can contact the Southwest Louisiana Arts and Cultural Symposium. The UL Lafayette School of Music and Performing Arts presents State of La Danse November 8th through the 10th at 7:30 p.m. and on Sunday, November 11th at 2. All performances will be in the auditorium in Angel Hall on the UL Lafayette campus. The Opelousas Little Theater will open its run of John Patrick Shanley's Pulitzer Prize-winning play Doubt. That will open tomorrow evening and run through two weekends. It will run through the 18th of November. Tickets will be available at the door of the Opelousas Little Theater. The fifth annual Festival of Words will be held in Grand Coteau and other locations in St. Martin and St. Landry parishes, November 8th through the 10th. That's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Most events are free. There are drive-by poetry readings. There's a community stage in Grand Coteau. There are workshops, literary readings, and so many other events. The website is Festival of Words. And you can find a complete listing of events. The Lafayette chapter of Ducks Unlimited will hold their general banquet tomorrow evening at the Hyman Center Ballroom. I think the doors open at 5 o'clock and the events begin at 6:30. And the final in the fall Bach Lunch Series will be this Friday. The group Rue Boogaloo will be performing in Parc Sans Souci from noon until 1. Downtown Alive will feature Nickel Beer in Parc Sans Souci as well. The music starts at about 6 o'clock. And at Cité des Arts, continuing, is Cabaret the Musical. That will run this weekend and the next. For more information or tickets, call Cité or go to their website. This weekend, a symposium will be held on the UL Lafayette campus entitled Flannery O'Connor, The Legacy of a Southern Catholic Writer. It celebrates the 50th anniversary of Flannery O'Connor's lecture here on the UL campus in the Catholic Student Center. For more information, you can contact Our Lady of Wisdom about the symposium to attend. And for a listing of programs on KRVS, please stop by our website, krvs.org. Clicking on the schedule button. In just a moment, we will join NPR's All Things Considered.